Now then, the stats on dog attacks are going up in terms of what hospitals are treating bite victims. Of course, we've seen that really the recent case, the horrific case, which involved the owner of two Rottweiler dogs who was set upon. We don't quite know the whole circumstances of that at this stage, but she's survived, but nursing very serious injuries and a long road to recovery for her. One of those Rottweilers was, of course, put down. I'm not sure what the status of the other dog wasn't put down. It was shot, of course, by police at the scene. But we're trying to figure out what the scenario is for the other dog as the owner considers its fate as well. Of course, councils are, you know, the ones that we sort of go to in terms of reporting dogs that we think might pose a threat or issues around dogs. And sometimes the rangers have to respond directly to attacks, whether it be on people or other dogs in parks and so on. Cornerstone Legal is a company that has represented a number of councils in relation to the dog attacks, and the West are reporting the director, Tim Howling, in the paper this morning in and around these WA Health Department figures that have come through that show the increase in the number of attacks. Here's a little bit of Tim Howling from Cornerstone Legal.
We've seen the number of dog prosecutions increase over a period of time. Now, that's only anecdotally on the basis of what the relevant local governments may present to us for prosecution. But the backup by the figures presenting to hospital indicates that probably the problem associated with the numbers of attacks is increasing within our community is far worse than we probably expected. In Canada, there's been a study known as the Calgary Study, and it identified that you need both the carrot and the stick. That is, you need to have effective penalties to ensure that people engage in responsible dog ownership. And you need to also have an encouragement of people who are engaged in responsible ownership.
That's Tim Howling talking to Breakfast this morning from Cornerstone Legal. Now, so Josh Zimmerman in the paper is reporting that hospitals are saying that they are treating around 4 dog bite victims every single day and that they've seen a spike in recent years. Now, there's obvious sort of questions to come out of this in terms of dog ownership and the number of people that have got dogs these days, whether that's part of the reason that we're seeing more dog bites. More dogs. People have, you know, have certainly during the pandemic gone out and got themselves dogs. Of course, a lot of them have been abandoned since then, but that's another story. Let's have a chat to a dog behaviour consultant. Cathy Capellas-McLeod joins me on the line. Thanks for your time, Cathy.
You're welcome, Gary.
So a rise in dog bites. I mean, anything come to mind for you as to why?
Lots of things. You've touched on it. Certainly COVID, I feel, has played a role because there definitely has been an increase in dog ownership. And sadly, as you also said, a lot of people got what they needed from the dogs and, you know, disposed of them. So therefore, it brings in a little bit of a dodgy breeder scenario where people know they can get quite a lot of money for breeding dogs because people were desperate for dogs. You know, the shelters were quite low on the numbers. So whilst that was good, now they're packed again. Now, it doesn't mean that rescue dogs are bad. You know, we can have, you know, dogs that have got dodgy temperaments, whether they be from, you know, purebreds or crossbreeds. So I feel that just the fact that there are people out there that know they can get quite a significant amount of money for putting two dogs together and without the public maybe not even having seen the parents of the dog. Of course, we buy on seeing a puppy and we think that all will be rosy, but it's not always the case.
So we get to the point where a lot of people go and get themselves a dog, I'll say it, on a whim because it sort of felt like a good thing to do at the time as they were trying to fill in those moments because of the pandemic and what they weren't allowed to do normally. That whim, does that mean that they're not serious about the way that they train that dog, get that dog to follow, you know, the leader as opposed to it being the other way around?
Some were, Gary. Many are fantastic and have still got their dogs and will have them until the day they die because they love them. But people were lonely, and I understand that, and they got dogs, maybe cats as well, to fill that void. And then when the pandemic was not such a big deal, some of these folks decided to disown the dogs. And they're the ones that are you know, let's go for irresponsible or not the type of people that you want to own animals, because they just haven't got their own, they've got their needs first, haven't they, rather than the dogs, because, you know, dogs are for life. So I think we really need to, we're only human, we see puppies, but we need to question as much as we can. And certainly, you know, do go to the shelters, because there's many good dogs out there that have been disposed of because of some of these people who feel that, no, the dog's done what it's needed to and I no longer need it. And they are looking for good homes. And chat to the people at the rescues or chat to your breeders. Where you can, ask to see the parents. I understand it's not always possible. And if the parents are afar, and you know, this is what my clients say, they wouldn't let me see the parents. I go, what were they doing? They were doing this in the background. Well, these are little red flags. You want to know what is the temperament. If you're going to get a pedigree dog, often the mother is there, and you know, also the father can be too. But question, and then question again. Sometimes we worry that if we question too much, we're going to annoy the person who's selling, and they'll you've lost the chance to get that dog or that puppy.
The other thing that you heard sort of Tim Howling there, who's a lawyer and he's represented councils, but he's suggesting that there might need to be harsher penalties for when there is an attack, that the owner should be punished more than they are in this instance. It shouldn't just be about, oh, well, the dog needs to be put down. There should be more penalties around it so that people understand the responsibilities they have as a dog owner.
Yeah, look, that's also a thought, and, you know, whether that works or not, you know, money is something that triggers people. But I think even before that, we must understand that not all dogs are going to be good off lead, and not all dogs are going to be wonderful with other people. So you have to understand, what have you got at the end of the lead? And if you're still going to continue to be irresponsible, and this says a lot for people who are out in the park who have not got control of their dog, who let their dogs run up, they can react to another dog or a person or a child or a parent pushing their baby in the pram. We don't want that sort of thing going on. So it all comes down to understand your dog, know whether is it going to be a dog that you can just have on the lead for the rest of its life and just let it run loose in enclosed areas where it's safe and let that dog live to a ripe old age without any incidents, or you're going to be a risk taker and do the romantic notion of, oh, my dog needs to have a run. Well, there's ways to do that, and there's safe ways to do that, but people are just putting the public at risk.
You know what? That really just touches a nerve with me, because I've got a dog, so I'm always in the dog park walking. And I see these people that are convinced that their dog's never going to do the wrong thing. I can see not necessarily a dog that might attack, but I can certainly see a dog that would jump up at a child because it's just so, you know, boundless with energy. And I watch them. I watch the owner saying things like, come on, Bobby now, leave them alone, come on, Bobby, as opposed to just being honest about the fact that they have no control over that dog.
And sadly, many don't. And that's the truth. And I'll openly say that, because I see clients every day, and a lot of them have counted people where they've actually asked them to call their dog. And look, there's also a sense of arrogance there, Gary, just to add on to the insult. Yep. Some of these people that haven't got control of their dog are quite happy to abuse. So we're talking about dogs that are aggressive. Well, let's talk about some of these dog owners that don't accept responsibility and their dog isn't under their control. That's not the dog's fault. That's the human's fault. Have your dog on a long line. Have your dog on a lead. Be responsible. Let the rangers have a little bit of a rest with having to address all these issues that are going on at parks or on footpaths, because there's just this notion about, I'm going to have my dog off lead and it's a good dog, it'll come back when it's called. Well, maybe it will when there's no one around, but it probably won't when there's a lot of dogs and people around. And if you don't know that, at least have it on a long line first to experiment. But don't, we've got our right to walk on a footpath, we've got our right to visit a dog park, and if we ask somebody to call their dog, they should be able to do it without somebody getting a mouthful.
Well, the politics of dog walking at the local parks, it's always interesting. I appreciate it, Cathy. Thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome, Gary.
That's Cathy Capellas at McLeod there, dog behaviour consultant. Plenty of